This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by StrengthCoach.com. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 135. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Lee Peel of AvidityFitness.net. What's up, Lee?
Not much. What's up, Kevin?
Are you doing okay, Lee? What's so funny?
I'm just shocked at the fact that you just kicked John Fass off the show.
Yeah.
And he's messaging me right now, and I told him that I have no power and that he has been banned, and he said, ha ha ha, what the? How was I supposed to know there were hidden levels?
They're not hidden levels, John. They're hidden characters. But we are here to talk about fitness and nutrition this week, folks. And we're going to start off by talking about Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, when I read the news intro, I was like, this is a really weird topic. So I have no idea what's going on with Kelly Ripa.
The gym that I currently work at has a subscription to magazines, and I think it was either a People magazine or it was a like an Us Weekly or something like that. And they had a like who's hot and who's not on the beach this year, and they went through a bunch of people that are like the hottest females and hottest males in their bathing suits and stuff, and like the ugliest males, and like for ugly they had Jack Black and his, you know, gigantic ass in a bathing suit, and
sexy.
Yeah, no, it's a very it's a pretty confident dude, so you gotta give him that. And oh crap, I gotta put him back on or he's gonna give me a bad he's one of my references for jobs.
Yeah, you get on that, yeah.
There we go. We're going to add John back to the show, folks. Live, we're adding him back to the show. What's up, John? Welcome to the FitCast.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Did you enjoy your time out, John?
I didn't know there were hidden levels.
John, no one knows what you're talking about. We're recording the actual show right now.
Oh, okay.
So
I felt like I had to like sneak my friend food and attention. It was so
cool.
Yeah, like here, man, it's the fruit roll up.
If people don't like inside jokes, go and listen to the off topic thing. Come
I was
back
like,
to this.
Did I just get hung up on?
John, that's real. Like, you don't do that.
I had no idea how am I supposed to know. I was the first thing I saw on the wiki thing. It's right on Wikipedia.
It was the wiki.
Well, you know what, John? That's, you know, not cool.
And listen, at the end of Usual Suspects, it turns out that he was actually
not retarded or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's a stealthy.
Yeah. And what do you call it?
John, we're doing the podcast. This is not off topic anymore.
We already covered Bruce Willis and Die Hard, so just don't even go there.
Bruce Willis and Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson is just like Whoopi Goldberg's like friend. It's also a spinoff of Ghost.
Yeah.
So that's that. The anyways, I was talking about Kelly Ripa. And one of the hot photos, they had Kelly Ripa. And I took a picture of this with my cellular telephone to make sure I was able to also post this in the show notes so people could see. But in it, they said, to get ripped, mom of three, Kelly 36, relies on the sculpting workout class, Physique 57. I've never heard of that. She said it transformed my body. And you can actually see, like, no joke, the striations of her pectorals in the picture.
Wow.
It's really gross. And the she was in the hot list. That was the point. And it's really sad that we do that. So
I saw a recent picture of her, and yeah, I mean, she was like, it's a little uncomfortable lean at this point, and it's just, yeah, it sucks.
I just like how they Photoshop her belly button on magazines, because she has an outie, and they give her an innie. I just like the world to be aware of this. That's how, like, twisted our reality is.
Get out of here. Where'd you hear that?
If you look at beach pictures, John Fass, I mean, Dr. Fass, then you will see that...
Oh, here, I found the picture. I'm going to send it to you guys so you can look at it.
You will see that she has an outie.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you look at magazine covers, she has an innie. That's what it's all about right there.
Maybe she just got impregnated by like an alien or something. It's like Aliens 5, although they're making a prequel to that. More off topic, sorry guys. So I just sent you guys the picture. You can take a look at that while I say congratulations to Dr. Fass.
Thank you.
I know. I feel like we've done this 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, kind of.
You just
I guess.
Keep
but
busting
you can
those...
keep doing it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it was kind of
so
cool. Actually,
how was it? Was it as hard as you thought? Was it worth all that studying?
The studying because I actually passed. So, basically, what it was is that you have to be board licensed in order to practice. So when I graduated, I got my degree in physical therapy, but that didn't make it legal for me to practice as a physical therapist. So, and that would happen with any type of like, I guess, health profession or an area like that where you have to be a board certified or board licensed, individual. So and I hadn't really talked about this too much because I'm just crazy superstitious and I don't like to talk about anything before it happens. I've learned my lesson the hard way in times past, but, the whole idea of the residency, which starts tomorrow, actually, if I had not passed my boards, I would not have been able to take my residency. They would have basically turned around and said, thanks so much and see you later. So I was accepted into the residency, but that was basically on condition that I could pass my board. So the stress was like unreal. So when I found out that I passed, I mean, it was like I could not only breathe a sigh of relief that I didn't have to take the test again, but that I could actually say, okay, I'm a resident now, because otherwise it would have all been for naught and that would have really been devastating. So it was kind of like a triumph on many levels. So it was cool.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was it as hard as you thought?
You have to respect it. It wasn't as hard. Like there's I used the Sullivan course, it's called. It's just what I used. I think in general that's what most people recommend you use to prepare for the board, so not an endorsement to them, but that's what I used. And their tests are definitely harder than the actual test is. And you'll hear that like physical therapy school, everyone's like, oh yeah, I talked to, last year's class. They all said it's easier, but it really is. So if you're doing well on those tests, then you're going to be okay for the boards most likely. I mean, the practice questions are very convoluted. There are all kinds of information in there. You've got to like really pick out the details of it and understand what you're looking at. The board questions are a little bit more straightforward. So the information is the same, but it's less kind of ridiculous. So it was easier in that sense. But you still have to know your stuff. You still have to, respect it and make sure that you really have a good grasp of your information. And then, I would think that you would be fine.
Cool.
Yeah. For all you aspiring PTs out there.
For all 5 of you.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It's actually, I hope there's a lot more out there.
Actually, I get a decent amount of email from – oh, and speaking of which – everyone that emailed me, I have like a file of emails that I need to reply to. So I really apologize. I love getting emails from you guys, and I will get to those as quickly as humanly possible. I've just been a little busy.
Understandable, man. The next thing, did you get those pictures, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
That's actually not even as bad of a picture as like I've seen of her.
No.
I mean, I've seen her like look even worse. At least there's some like reasonable muscle tone there and stuff. I mean, I've seen some horrible stuff.
She's probably juicing.
Allegedly.
Oh. interview update. I'm going to interview Dan John this week. I didn't have time this past week. I've been a little selfish in my trips to Crescent Performance, so it's left me very little time at home to do these. So we're going to make sure we get that done for next week. I think we have it scheduled for Tuesday with Dan John and myself. So if you do have any questions for that interview and you can get them in quickly, like within 5 minutes of listening to this, if you're listening to it on Monday morning, that would be awesome. But we have gotten about 15 or 16 questions, so we're going to go through those and as many as we can and make sure we have a good interview with Mr. John. It's always a good interview. And that's it. You guys want to take a quick break and then we'll hit up the mailbag?
Sure.
Sure.
Fine.
Oh, look at that. She's got an Audi and then she's got an Itty.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I can wiggle my ears, but I can't change
can't
the position.
That.
Of, no, I can't pop the belly button.
Maybe that just means she ate a meal today.
It's like I can pop the area
thing.
Around the
I
belly
mean,
button.
A turkey thing.
I can do a belly roll, but I can't cause something to go from the inside out like yeah. that. Maybe she blows on her thumb.
Nice.
On that note, we're going to be right back. If you want to boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat, head over to turbulencetraining.com and also check out ttmembers.com, a monthly turbulence training website where you can get a new program every single month. Hello and welcome to the mailbag. John's got the first question for us.
I do have the first question. Hi, everyone. I have a question regarding conditioning for dancers, something I don't think has been addressed. I know Lee has mentioned being a dancer, so hopefully you can help me out here. I love dance and I love weightlifting, but can't seem to find the connection between the two. I am a pre-professional dancer studying at the college level. For years, my only cross-training was hour-long sessions on the elliptical, followed by a ridiculous number of crunches and body reflected... And my body reflected that style of training. Luckily, I realized that the repertoire of contemporary dance companies dance companies requires full body strength and power. I've been doing primarily full body workouts for a year, starting with new rules of lifting for women, which is great, and I've made significant gains. My dancing has improved, and I am finally not scared of choreography requiring upper body strength. I'm pretty sure that I'm stronger than half the guys in my dance department. At this point, I want to continue strength training, but I'm interested in shifting my workouts towards exercises that will benefit my dancing. Can you point me towards specific exercises or a program I could follow that focuses on explosive and jumping movements? Also, do you have any additional suggestions regarding nutrition and training for athletes who are looking for strength but need to keep body weight low? Finally, I just want to say how great it is to hear you talk about soft tissue work. Most dancers carry around a tennis ball and foam roller, and it's nice to hear that at least some of our crazy methods are based on science. Thank you so much for any advice you can give me. You guys are the best, and that was Kristen.
Well, I love this question, obviously.
That's a great question. Great
question. It's a great question. There's a lot of different areas you hit, so I'm going to do the nutrition and kind of get that out of the way. Sorry, I'm losing my voice today. I'm going to get that out of the way and then focus on some of the other things. As far as the nutrition and the training, if you just kind of listen to your body, you know, if you're gaining weight, cut back a little bit. I mean, I know that sounds like overly simplistic, but if you're dancing a lot, I mean, dancing burns an insane amount of calories. I mean, 2-3 hour sessions at a time, you can, you know, get 1700, 2000 above in calories burned at that kind of a rate. So it's hard to overeat as a dancer and to do that kind of training. It is possible. If you find that that's happening, you know, just maybe cut out on, you know, if you're doing any sort of, you know, fast food or things like that. But in general, I like to just put a lot of focus on pre and post work, you know, training nutrition. You definitely have to feed while you're training. I think that dancers miss this a lot. And it makes them a little bit more prone to injury because when you're going into like, you know, hour 30 minute of your session and of your training, you start to get a little worn down. Take a little time, make sure you take breaks, you do a little feeding and hopefully it'll kind of keep you a little bit better fed, and therefore you're less likely to be more woozy, less likely to make more mistakes. Because when you're going into a jump or you're going into a twist or power move, and you said you're in contemporary, but I don't know exactly what all that encompasses, because contemporary can be a very large range. So whenever you're going into certain kind of moves and whatever it is you're incorporating, it takes a lot of mind over matter to just go into those movements in the first place. And then you've got to be very aware of your surroundings so that you don't land the wrong way, because the slightest little wrong move or twist and you've got an ankle out, or there's so many things that can happen. So really ward your body and protect it from things like that. And one of the best ways to do that is, you know, making sure that you're constantly fed. You've got really good protein. Dancers neglect protein all the time. You know, they're carbs, carbs, carbs. So make sure the protein and the fat's good as well. It doesn't have to be, you know, bodybuilding kind of like, you know, 2 times body weight, but you know, making sure that you get at least like your body weight and protein, especially with that kind of caloric expenditure happening, it would be a good start. So just that for like the nutrition. As far as the training goes, you say that you're in contemporary and you really need full extension, and you really need to focus on balance when you're doing that kind of work. And so when you're working on full extension and balance, not that strength isn't important. It is, you know, muscular endurance strength is important. But I would really focus on doing a lot of isolation movements and really holds and extensions in the positions that you need to be in. For example, if, you know, if you have to stand on one foot and extend your leg out in a manner and then bring it into yourself, do that. And it seems overly simplistic, but do it over and over and over and over again. Any move that you have to do to be better at in dancing, it's perfection practice. You know, it's doing it over and over and over and over again, and making it absolutely from everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your toe, just extending everything and running it right through to your body, and just keep doing those movements, the really hard, strenuous ones. If you're trying to get into any more power moves, or if you incorporate any sort of like hip hop or things like that, then I would specifically focus on doing a lot of weighted upper body movements. I used to have a harder time doing them these days, but I do a lot of vested handstand push-ups. It does amazing things for upper body strength, and there's really not a lot you can't do once you get good at those. So I like those pull-ups. It's classic, but it works. You know, just side planks and plates in general really help with your core, and they also help with balance. And there's a lot of twists and turns of movements, rolling on the ground with your leg extended and things like that. And it can really help with those kind of movements, doing plank variations, plank on one leg, switch legs, side planks, things like that. Planks are amazing movements for dancers, and I think should be incorporated a lot. And lastly, obviously, mobility and flexibility is important. I would switch from your tennis ball, switch from, you know, just a normal foam roller, and go to the PVC and really ramp it up and increase it and go even deeper with that tissue work. And so, yeah, I would even be curious if Fass had any sort of kind of opinions on it, being that I know he really knows his stuff with the mobility and flexibility stuff, if he had any extra points. But my last little thing is your ankles, protect them and really make sure your mobility is good with them, because 9 times out of 10, and with myself personally, that's where the injuries come from. It's from lack of stability or mobility, or both in that area. So definitely protect the ankles. And there's a great Bill Hartman thing that I think he did it for the FitCast. I'm not sure, but it was it's a series on ankle mobility. It goes through some warm-ups, and it's really good. You can find it through Google. If you put in just ankle mobility, it pulls it up. It's a video YouTube. It's really good. So that's my rant. I could go on like for longer and longer and longer, but I'll just end it there.
Yeah, it really is a great question. It's the early front runner for Pink Dumbbell Award. I'm gonna say that right now. Interestingly enough, I actually have worked with some dancers. We have a dance team at Rutgers that I'd worked with a couple of times. And I've also worked – I had consulted the gymnastics team for their strength coach, because they were having some back pain issues. So we kind of sat down and looked at what they were doing, and I made some suggestions. And what I realized with working with these athletes is that a lot of their work – and their are obviously some similarities with gymnastics and dancing, but certainly with the dancers, it still boils down to what is your positioning and your posture while you're doing your movement and, you know, in your dance, because it's not just about knowing the steps and knowing the moves, but looking right when you do that. And that all boils down to that kind of core postural strength and alignment. So what, you know, everything that Lee said is excellent. And I think also if you look in between the lines of what she said, it's basically, you know, analyzing what's your position, what's your movement, and perfect this movement within that position so that you're strong in the positions that you need to be strong in. So you know, the listener, you know what positions you need to be in, what, you know, how you need to look and how you need to present yourself while you're dancing and you're moving. If there's a weak point there, if your shoulders aren't back enough, then that mm-hmm. tells you mm-hmm. that you need some more rowing or, you know, postural strengthening within that position. If you're having difficulty, you know, jumping high enough, if that's what it calls for, or, you know, if you were dancing with someone else and there's like a lead position that you're not holding or whatever that case may be, that's where you start. And you look at where your weaknesses are and then understand what muscles basically are responsible for holding you in that position. So most of the time we're looking, like what Lee said, you know, planks and core strength, your shoulder positioning, your ankles, to, because that's the, you know, kind of like the base of your body and your position. So if you look at those things and make sure that those are strong in the ways that you need them to be strong, you should be pretty good. The other thing that I wanted to say, ironically, the soft tissue work is not based in science, or it's not based in evidence science, which is sadly the case. It's so far there's very limited research behind soft tissue work. So basically where we go with soft tissue has to do with theory, and it has to do with clinical practice, where we see clinical results from these techniques, but we don't actually have the research to back it up. There's, to my knowledge, there's about 2, maybe 3 research studies that look at like foam rolling and self-myofascial release, and they're not terribly good research studies. It just seems to be something kind of difficult to look at currently. So that's just, it doesn't mean it's not legitimate, because obviously we all practice it to one level or another. So, but it's ironically not as steeped in true scientific literature as you might expect it to be.
Excellent points.
John, we get a question for you that comes from, oh crap, sorry, I forgot to put the name in. This is greeting from splendid and sunny old England, my American comrades. Basically, I have a question concerning strength goals. At the moment, I am training weighted pull-ups and weighted push-ups / dips. After achieving the one-arm chin-up, I am trying to get it more consistent and hopefully work up to doing one rep of my body weight eventually of a normal pull-up, 70 kilograms. My split is pulling, pushing legs twice a week with Sunday to rest. I want to increase my max strength and power with pulling and pushing, but at the same time, I want to develop my endurance for repetition. Will doing one day of max strength training per week and one day of more endurance-based training per week for both pulling and pushing be beneficial, or do you think I will plateau and not really get anywhere? I heard you can increase endurance with maximum strength training, but not vice versa. Would I be best just training max strength for each twice a week instead? I realize that there are kind of opposite ends of the scales, but I would like to break past 20 rep pull-up range as well as increase my weighted one-arm chin-ups. Well, the podcast, great to have quality and consistent content available such like this. Thanks very much. And I'll find the name of that email before we finish.
Dude, fire the producer, man.
Worthless.
He
didn't even say a name.
I know. Can't pronounce half the words that he says, and doesn't even have the name on the script. I'm about to pull a Terminator 4 freak out, I think. So, I think...
Hey. Jin.
You know what?
No, that's the name.
Yeah, no, you know, it's really funny when he said he was from England. I was like, yeah, I'll bet this is Jin. What's up, Jin?
From genetics.blogspot.com. Jin just gave you a plug, too, for forgetting.
There you go. To make up for your fail. You know, the issue here, I think, is that you are riding two horses at the same time, because you're at a point, doing one-armed chims are pretty difficult, and they do require a very good deal of strength. And so you're looking at 20 pull-ups, which is a pretty decent amount of endurance, which I would, you know, basically list on a moderate to high level of endurance. Most people I don't think could probably do that many with good form. And then you're also doing a one-arm chin, which means that you've got a lot of strength. At this point in your development, it is the kind of thing where you probably have to pick and choose one goal over another. You might be able to maintain strength reasonably well while you increase your endurance, or you know, you might be able to maintain the majority of your endurance as you increase your strength. I don't really think that you're going to be able to do both at the same time at this point. Maybe in the beginning of a training cycle you might be able to, but at this point it's very unlikely. Chances are what's more likely is that as you increase in one, you will decrease a little bit in another, and good training will allow you to minimize that decrease or to get it back more quickly if you decided to change your goal. But you know, continuing to make advances at both levels at this point are going to be kind of difficult. The only other thing I want to talk about is increasing endurance with max strength training. Not really. Again, it's all relative on where you begin in your training cycle. So if I'm a newbie, absolutely. I could do max strength training and I will increase my endurance because from a base level, everything will be an improvement. But in general, for someone that's even reasonably well-trained, you're not really going to do that. When we talk about max strength training with, you know, like athletics and maintaining a strength base while you're improving your endurance, that's really meant to allow for, you know, explosive movement and to allow for strength behind that endurance. It doesn't matter if I can, you know, go 10 rounds in a boxing match if none of my punches are strong. So that's that's kind of the logic there. We want to have strength and the ability to apply that strength over and over again, which would be endurance. But to think that you're going to increase your endurance by specifically training for strength, it doesn't work one way or the other. So you do at some point have to decide what your goal is and what's going to benefit you the most. For most people, when they're, you know, just kind of exercising for general health and whatever, then it really honestly probably doesn't matter to some extent. I mean, you can make an argument as far as, like, you know, what happens more in your day? Do you need endurance or do you need max strength? And most of us actually sort of need that muscle endurance over max strength, unless you, like, you know, you're a mover, a professional mover or something, or you're lifting over and over again repeatedly, like in construction or manual labor. But as far as actual goals, honestly, it's just up to you and what you're interested in right now.
I just want to jump in and say that I'd like never hear that said. And a lot of people's automatic focus is to go with, oh, well, to increase my endurance, I'll just get stronger. And it doesn't always work like that. And I think that you made a really good point and you put that in good perspective, because it's the answer that I hear a lot of people give. And you definitely define that difference between the two.
Oh,
knowledge bomb.
Thank you.
It's simple, but I think it was important.
Yeah, and you know, and that's what's interesting too about all these different ways that methods that people work out and stuff. Like, you know, we'll all come over and we'll say, you know, someone will write in or something and say, oh, I'm trying to lose weight and I'm doing Pilates. And we'll say, oh, don't do Pilates, you won't lose weight that way. But there are benefits to things like that, postural muscular endurance type of training effect. So if that's your interest, and it really should be your interest. I mean, most people will need that a lot more than they'll need to be able to pick 300 or 400 pounds off the floor. Then, you know, that's a good thing, and you should incorporate something like that into your training. But if you're interested in picking up 300 or 400 pounds from the floor, then that maybe, you know, that's a little bit secondary. And the fact of the matter is, by picking up that amount of weight, you will affect your posture and positioning anyway. So it's not, you know, all of these types of things, every recommendation that we make or every, you know, is based on our opinions and based on what this individual's goals are. But if we just break it down to what you need in the day, you know, that's exactly what it is. It's like, we need to have good posture. We need to be able to maintain that posture, and we need to be able to apply force when needed while maintaining good posture. And that actually tends to not require that much strength. But it's cool to be strong, so.
Yes, of course. Cool.
Am I up next, Kevin?
Yes.
Why not? I don't know. Like, if I sent you an outline, John, I usually send it a day before we do the podcast, and that way it flows more regularly. so I don't have to edit stuff out. Doctor.
Kevin, I am having a lot of trouble with constipation while dieting. And since we all know that you're full of crap, I know that you have mentioned products that have helped, and I think something from Trader Joe's. Can you help me out? And that was the mic.
That could have been a more perfect question.
John added the full of crap thing.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have this outline right here in front of me that lets me know what we're going to do next. So,
well, just keep in mind that it is I can edit it live.
I only have what's in front of me.
John, I can do it live.
I can do it live.
Mike, there's a couple things that you can do about this. I think Lee and I have talked about this a little bit in the past, and there's a couple things that you can try out. Not everything's going to work for everyone, but you might be able to find something that does work for you, so you might have to try out a couple things. First thing, you can get that Lee recommended to me was Trader Joe's. Not Trader Joe's. The Vitamin Shoppe has something called Fiber Blend. It's really cheap. It's like $13 for 300 caps. You can pick that up, and it's just a bunch of different blends of plant fibers, so that will probably help you out. And also the something that Cassandra Forsyth actually recommended to me is doing soaking some flax seeds overnight and then drinking them in the morning tends to clean things right up. So if that's something that you want to look into, that would be another very good alternative. So the third thing is also probiotics, which unfortunately I didn't have too much success with at all. And they can be on the more expensive range of things, so it might be worth just trying out soaking some flax seeds overnight and having them in the morning, or just trying out the fiber blend that the that Trader Joe's offers. And it's not, I misspoke, it's not just plant-based fibers. It also has oat bran fiber and rice bran and apple and prune. So it's all fiber, hence the name Fiber Blend.
Did you fall off your chair?
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Are you climbing up a mountain to find those supplements?
No, I'm standing. I'm standing up right now. Actually, Lee, do you have anything else that Mike could check out?
Kevin definitely covered the supplemental aspects of things. Basically, when you're dealing with constipation, you're dealing with something that, like, your system's just not, it's not working right. And a lot of the time people find that they encounter this whenever they're low carbing for various reasons, too much of one kind of fiber, not enough of another kind of fiber. Or it could be you're dieting anyway, you're low on fats, you're low on fluids. There's so many reasons why you can be constipated, which is why that people get really irritated by this problem, because they usually, whenever you see it discussed, it's like a mass answer. Oh, you just need more fiber. It's not as simple as that. And sometimes that's not what you need at all. It can range anything from gut health to fiber intake to fat intake to water intake. It can really vary. So what I always tell people to do is to cover your bases. If you're constantly constipated or you're finding yourself having to do a low carb or a really restrictive diet for a long time, then you to some degree have to get used to a little bit of constipation, because if you're severely low carbing and you're severely in a deficit, it's just a side effect. It's just going to be something that happens to some degree. You're not going to pass as normally as you pass, and things are going to take a little bit longer because, in effect, you're taking in less physical food. There's less to process, and it can feel a little bit more uncomfortable, and things just don't go quite as fast. But if you find yourself in kind of a maintenance or a small deficit and you're still having a problem, then make sure that you have your fiber taken care of, and not just soluble, but insoluble as well. Make sure that you're getting the best that you can of fats within your diet that you can. Make sure, you know, particularly your fish oils and things like that. If you're having any sort of digestion problems, or if you're gassy or things like that, then it means that something's probably not agreeing with you too much. And then you can go and put in the enzymes or the probiotics or even glutamine and take that to make sure that, you know, everything's not too angry. Because a lot of times when you up your protein intake on a high level, a lot of people's stomachs have a hard time dealing with it. And they have a hard time breaking down certain things. So look at it from all those aspects, then make sure you're really hydrated. And if none of that is working, I'd be surprised. And it usually means that you're going in kind of a different area, and it could possibly be an intolerance of something, or you could have leaky gut, or it goes into a different area. Beyond that, of what just, you know, supplementation normally just helps, and you need to take, or more aggressive strategies, if you will. So that's what kind of I would do. And the supplements that Kevin listed were good. And I always recommend the Fiber Blend to people because it's very cheap and it surprisingly works very well for the majority of people.
Very good, Mike. Hope you have some more success with that. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more mailbag questions. So stick around. If you want to get the best tasting, highest quality protein powder out there, you gotta go to blackstarlabs.com. Now with new discounted prices, so you can save more than ever. Next question comes from Jason. Hey guys, I'm getting ready to start lifting again after a long time off. I just bought some stuff through bodybuilding.com last night. I was up kind of late when I placed the order, mostly the normal stuff like omega-3, multivitamin, etc. But I looked into this into an HGH supplement called Fountain of Youth Presents HGH Complete. They had it on sale, buy two, get one free, and I took the bait. Did I get taken, or is this actually going to help me? It sounded good before bed, but it doesn't now that I've been awake for hours. I know it isn't actual HGH, but will it have any positive effect? Thanks. Love the podcast. At least I do right now. If you rip into me, I'll go to Louisiana and find a voodoo lady to hex the whole lot of you. Just kidding. But seriously.
Dude, can I jump in this real quick? Drunk ordering is never a good idea. I just wanted to put that out there.
Especially from bodybuilding.com.
Exactly.
I drunk ordered the Butter Butler one time.
What the hell is that?
You like put like a butter stick in it, and you turn a little knob, and it squeezes it out in like a pretty little line, the butter, so that you can like dolly up your potatoes and your corn.
I was
so drunk and I was just like,
oh my god.
Like a good idea.
A butter butler.
All right, so, yeah, the butter butler.
I just envisioned something, you know, running around the table and dropping butter off on every plate.
That's right, I ordered a human drunk.
Well, I could have been a robot.
The butter butler.
Okay, Lee, Fountain of Youth, HGH Complete.
Okay, yeah, you got had. I don't know how to tell you any other way. I hope that I say this kindly enough to where I don't feel pinches in my back from your voodoo pins. But you know, the good news is that I don't think taking anything in it is gonna hurt you. It's, you know, there's some stuff in here that's just complete crap. That there's absolutely no use of it whatsoever and no study showing anything it does anything for anybody, and all theorized kind of stuff and links, and there's nothing there. But then there's stuff that's good, like, you know, there's you've got like, you know, some branched chain amino acids in there, and you have some zinc and some vitamin C. So it's not a complete loss. You know, I'd say use it. I don't think necessarily that you have to, like, you know, take it on any sort of gospel, but if you don't want to waste it, you can use it. It's not going to hurt you. You know, you could probably just put it around your workouts, and who knows? I don't think it's going to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. But the short of it is that you can't buy human growth hormone at, like, a buy-two-get-one free special, and it's not going to do anything for you. And, you know, it's all hype. And we could get into a big, long detail about what does work and what doesn't. But the short of it is, you asked about this product, and no, this product isn't going to work for you. And the aspect of what it claims. But it can have some redeeming qualities with some of the nutrients that are, or some of the vitamins and stuff that are in there. So I say use it for that. And especially if you're just trying to up your recovery, I could see how it could help with recovery a little bit, possibly with some of the stuff that's in there. But that's about it. So
I think one of the best ways to sell a product is to literally put charts
in the sales page. And for real, I'm telling you, that's like business 101. Put a chart in there, whether it's good or bad.
I know that my conversions always go up once there's a chart.
Charts, so, way of the future. Yeah. Way of the future.
Well, Kevin, question for you. This is from Dan. I currently do conventional deadlifting directly after back squatting in my workout. Am I a retard for doing this? Is there an especially large injury risk at play here? Kevin?
Okay, well, Dan, this is how a lot of strength workouts are going to be set up. So when we're talking about doing, I don't know if you're setting up as like a leg day or you're doing a lower body day or how you're setting it up, but if you're going to be training lower body twice a week or doing some kind of full body setup, you know, it will be okay to do back squatting and conventional deadlifting in the same workout, but you got to consider, you know, the volume, the total volume that you're going to be doing. So when it comes to the squats, say, let's just throw out a rough number. Let's say you're doing six sets of four. You're doing pretty heavy volume for that. You know, if you're going to put in the deadlifts as well, maybe you'll just work on some speed deadlifts. You're not going to do too high a volume. You'll just do, you know, like three sets of six, something like that, and just work on your speed and work on your form. Just don't, you're not going to go squat 400 pounds and throw 450 on the bar and then deadlift. It's just going to be too much to recover from unless you have any kind of illegal assistance. So, you know, that's generally how I would set it up. So, you know, especially again, going back to how you're going to be setting up your workouts, you know, full body, if you're going to be doing something like that, I would not put conventional deadlifting and squatting, back squatting in particular in this question, into the same workout. But if you are going to be doing some kind of an upper lower split where you might be doing lower body twice a week, that's going to be fine. And if you are going to be only doing lower body once a week, then yeah, you're going to want to get both movements in there as well. But consider the total volume that you're going to be doing. It's going to be really hard to recover from it, and you're going to see your lifts plateau, and you're going to feel like really bad, pretty much like crap afterwards. The last thing to consider, as you fatigue through your workout, you're going to be running at a higher risk for getting injured, especially when we talk about two of these movements that have been, you know, really known for causing low back pain in people when they perform incorrectly. So you're going to make sure form is really good. You got to make sure you're not fatigued when you go to those deadlifts, and make sure you're not going very heavy. Like, we're not going into that 85-90% or higher range for a one rep max when we do those deadlifts. And you know what, just at the end, just listen to your body and, you know, make sure that your programming is even. And if you have any more questions after that, Dan, just shoot us another email and I'll just email you back and see what you're working with. I don't know if John or Lee, if you have anything else to add to that.
That was a nice answer. I was going to say that in general, kind of flesh a little bit of that out. I mean, whenever you program for a workout, you have to ask, why are you actually programming an exercise? I mean, there's a reason for it. So if I'm going to do some conventional deadlifts after a back squat, the answer is, why am I doing this? What do I hope to achieve? There are a decent amount of similarities between a back squat and a conventional deadlift, and, you know, a lot of differences as well. But if I've got the two of them, and especially back to back, then, you know, why am I doing this? So if we look at core lifts versus assistance work, we start to flesh that out a little bit, and we'll look at, you know, this tends to be more of like an athlete's approach, you know, powerlifter or Olympic weightlifter, or someone that is specifically interested in improving a certain lift. So if I'm interested in increasing back squats, then I'm not going to do, you know, just like what Kevin was saying, I'm not going to do a heavy back squat and then a heavy deadlift at the same time. It doesn't make any sense to do it. I would use a deadlift to help improve my back squats. But then that begs the question, does that actually happen? Does getting better at deadlifts help me to get better at back squats? And in general, the answer is no. There might be, you know, a little bit of carryover in the sense of, if I increase strength of a muscle, then I can use that strength elsewhere, but the neuromuscular timing is so specific that if we really break it down, the answer is probably no, it's not going to do so much. So what you have to really do is then decide what your goal is, where those weaknesses in that that goal lift or that goal movement and use exercises to help that along. So, for instance, if I'm doing some back squats but I'm finding that I'm getting too much of a lordosis, too much of an arch, maybe I can use front squats to help me because that'll help – that'll be maybe a little bit better of a core – strength movement while I do a squat, and then I can incorporate that into either speed or I can incorporate that into more of a volume play or whatever. But if I decide just to throw in as many leg exercises as I can think of, it's not going to really work so well.
Cool. Lee, you have anything else?
No, that's good.
The next question that we have comes from Matt. He says, "Hi, Kevin and crew. I was listening to a podcast, and a lady you have on the show, I could not get her full name. It sounded like Leppel Hill, but I can't find her anywhere. I'm trying to locate her fitness website." You know, Matt, that would be a great point. If her website was LeePeel.com, if it was LeePeel.com, you know, you wouldn't get confused with the Avidity Fitness thing. You know, we've talked about that in the past, and, you know, it's something that I think the whole... you know, 5,000 you agree on is that it should be LeePeel.com. And Lee has kind of, you know, I think Lee has agreed.
I've listened to your pleads and I have responded. It will be launched tomorrow, actually tonight at, like, you know, probably somewhere around midnight or something, if I can get it launched that early, but it'll definitely be launched Marsh up. It's gone. It's dead.
So it won't be LeppelHill.com?
It won't be LeppelHill.com. This makes me sound like I should be put in a valley of something.
Yeah, or like a talk show host, Leppel Hill Show. All right. Awesome.
No. Is that funny?
No.
Next question that we have. Hey there, great work on the show. Keep it up. I thought you guys might like to chew on this article. James, and this is an article that, you know, it's been passed around quite a lot through the internets in the last week because MSNBC had an article called "Exercise Not Likely to Rev Up Your Metabolism." If anything, that sounds like clickbait to me, which means they will get lots of traffic because of it. But the article itself is debating that, or a study was done specifically at the University of Colorado in Denver by Edward Mellison, an exercise physiologist and associate professor. He says, people think that they have a license to eat whatever they want, and our research shows that it is definitely not the case. You can easily undo what you set out to do. If you exercise and replicate the calories you burn, you're no better with regard to how much fat you burn off than if you didn't exercise. So, he's basically calling the whole country a bunch of jackasses and saying that if you eat like crap and you exercise, you're still going to be fat. And I think most people understand that. He finishes off, says, bottom line is that we once thought that exercise would burn calories, especially fat calories, for a long period after a bout of exercise. And that was from General Endress, fitness director of Duke University. So again, they're kind of going against a couple things. You know, mainly the thing that we can kind of take home is that they're saying that EPOC is not as effective as some studies have shown it to be. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree on that. And the one thing that you know, I want to get out is that, you know, of course, you know, you're not just going to exercise, you're going to have to start eating correctly. I think most people understand that, and most people can just start eating correctly and lose the weight. But to make such a bold statement that exercise is not likely to rev up your metabolism, you know, they're kind of playing with the words there, because, you know, revving up your metabolism, you know, probably not. Building lean mass, is that going to make you have to consume more calories, or your body's going to burn more calories? Yeah. But just exercising yourself, I mean, you're going to get that EPOC effect. Sure, you know, it's debatable, and it might only be 200 calories. We got another question about that later. But Lee, how do you feel about this?
I hate articles like this, because the good that can come from an article like this, and how studies are spun for, you know, to get clicks on a website, it can be very aggravating. It's like, on the one hand, you know, does exercising caused this magical calorie fairy to come along and make, you know, your expenditure crazy. No, it doesn't. And that doesn't happen. But at the same time, does being healthy and being in shape and training and keeping yourself in good condition cause you to have less hormonal issues, cause you to have less hunger spikes, cause you to have better portioning, like all those kinds of things that come into play? In that aspect, does it rub up your metabolism? Yeah, I'd say so. So it's the aspect of, one, the absolutes that they make in statements. Exercise will not help you lose fat. Only dieting will help you lose fat. I mean, it's the constant absolutes that drive me crazy. And perhaps, you know, it's a little bit of scientific OC in my head, but I just can't stand the absolute statements that are made in articles like this, or in articles that would fight against this kind of article, and fitness professionals say, oh, well, you know, unless you're doing high intervals, you're not going to burn through the fat, you know, and then others that like are obsessed with super slow training. And it's just ridiculous all the way around. No one seems to understand that it's a very simple equation of take care of yourself, keep progressing, progressive overload, good diet, balanced nutrition, health, probably looking better, probably going to feel better, you know, and it's not really that complicated. Yes, there's ways you can optimize it when you're going into an athletic performance, you know, kind of standpoint. And yes, there's ways that you can dial in and get really crazy and OC about things. And I do like to discuss those things, and they're fun. But at the end of the day, you know, if you train and you move and you're social and you take care of yourself and you take care of your body and you have, you know, friends and you get laid and like just everything, like, yeah, you're going to be like a happier, healthier person. You know, and you're going to look better.
John, that's the missing piece for you.
Yeah, that's the missing piece. I'm not social.
And you eat like crap and you don't ever train and you hate your life, then yeah, you're going to look like crap and you're going to feel like it too. It's just simple.
Lee, you got to turn up your mic a little bit.
Yeah, Lee, you're dying on us in the levels.
That's all, you know. And can you really not hear me, or was that like a...
That's better.
That's better.
Okay.
You tend to go in and out sometimes.
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was a good rant.
It was a good rant, and I don't even know what you said.
It's like, yeah, and you gotta do this.
Yeah. It's just,
it was
something about getting laid. That's what I heard.
And that's the take-home point of the podcast.
Also, real quick, if you look at the – and I didn't see the actual study, but from what
I
the –
Yeah, I didn't either, so I can't conversate on
Yeah, that. But from what the article here is saying is that they looked at a good total population, experimental population, but it was in low-intensity versus high-intensity cycling. So they're really – and this is the thing about research as well. You can't – you know, that's probably not what most people that listen to the FitCast will be doing anyway. So it may not apply to you anyhow. They're not lying, though. I mean, putting on muscle has generally been shown to increase your metabolism by maybe 5 to 10 calories a day, depending on which study you look at. So in and of itself, that is negligible to the point of not even counting for anything. So, but if you think about it, if you put on 15 or 20 pounds of muscle from the time you start to the time you finish or something, I mean, you're going to be looking at potentially 200 calories a day, which is still relatively negligible to some extent, except you've also just put on 20 pounds of muscle. So you're probably going to look pretty good regardless. So it's true. I mean, if we – and I think we've said it too. I mean, you need the diet. The diet drives the engine of the car. You know, I mean, it's – you're not going to have very good results if you're not keeping your diet in check and using both diet and exercise to achieve your goals. But yeah, I don't know, whatever. These articles come out and they're written by people that don't know what they're talking about, paraphrasing people that do. But, you know, again, the research is so specific that you really can't generalize it the way that they do. So whatever. Next.
Well, John, hi, Kevin and crew. I'm 48 years old, former Marine living in Australia, and I've been exercising regularly for about a year. My weekly program consists of 3 to 4 days of cardio, primarily running, and 3 days of resistance training. I am 174 centimeters tall and weigh 70 kilos, having lost 23 kilos over the last year. I recently discovered a inguinal hernia, and I have been scheduled for surgical repair in a few weeks. My question is, can you suggest any exercises that I can do post-op to keep my fitness and strength gains up without risking recurrence of the hernia? I have been researching hernia post-op recovery, and the information is very conflicting, varying from how heavy lifting for how being off from heavy lifting at least 6 weeks to starting exercise as soon as comfortable, letting pain or discomfort being your guide. I really love the show and learn something new every week. I especially enjoy the off-topic, really, John. Wow.
Wow.
Keep up the good work, Dennis. John's going to answer your question, Dennis.
The opinions expressed in the FitCast are not necessarily those put forward by the FitCast. Furthermore, any information given by the FitCast is not meant to treat or diagnose any health-related injuries and are for entertainment purposes only. Yeah, you know what? The information you should be following are those of your physician and then the physical therapist if you are getting physical therapy afterwards. And that's really the answer there. Every surgery to some extent is different, and every individual that receives surgery is different. So although you may find information about, after your inguinal hernia surgery, you'll feel some slight discomfort, and meanwhile you could be vomiting from pain. I mean, it's all relative. So to be able to say that you'll be able to start exercise as soon as you're comfortable or that you need to lay off, that has a lot to do with how, you know, were there any complications at all during the surgery? What did the surgeon find when they were in there? And what is their opinion? Because ultimately that's the opinion that you follow. They're the ones that built the car. They're going to tell you how fast you can go in it, you know? So in general, being lighter is a lot better than being heavier in terms of workload and intensity, especially after a hernia operation. So you're not, you know, there. You don't want to disrupt the surgery. You don't want to disrupt the healing process. And exercise really needs to support that process, not be a process in and of itself. So as a healthy individual, you might be exercising because the exercise itself is the goal. Once you've had some type of injury or some type of surgical intervention or whatever, that exercise needs to support what just took place in the surgery. So in general, you know, walking may be all right if that's what your surgeon tells you, so if that's what your rehab specialist tells you, but they're going to tell you how long, how intense, and when you can actually begin that. You know, it's good that you're looking for information and you definitely want to be informed. But again, it, just like any answer that we give here, it's all general. And any specific situation is really going to be determined by the details of that situation itself.
Very cool. Last question.
Felix. I really am good in the off topic. God, I'm so good in the off topic.
Except when you just spoil everyone's hopes and dreams. Next question comes from Felix in South Bend. That's Indiana, right?
Yeah, it is. That's why it says IN.
It could have been someplace else.
If it didn't say IN, it wouldn't have been Indiana.
Hey, guys, love the show. One quick question. How many post-exercise calories are burned due to EPOC? The more I read about EPOC, the more confused I am. Everyone seems to be hailing the benefits of EPOC with few, if any, sites to research data to subsidize their claims. Not too long ago, Kevin wrote that EPOC burns an extra 200-plus calories, insert link, when Jen Heath wrote that EPOC only helps burn 7 to 14% of total calories burned during the activity. Another link. So is the 7 to 14% figure wrong, or is Kevin the beast really burning 2,857 calories per workout session? Keep up the great work, Felix.
Only bench press. If it said like in South Bend, then he would say he's written this in South Bend. If he says South Bend, comma, in, that's Indiana. If he was born in 1986, he'd be 23. See? So it's all about where you put the in.
No, I understood that, John. Thanks, though. But to answer Felix's question, Actually, Felix, there are actually quite a few studies that cover the effects of post-exercise oxygen consumption. You know, what I'll do is I'm going to put in the show notes, I'll copy-paste all the works that I cited in my, I don't know what I wrote this for. I think I wrote this for like an exercise science class, but actually did a research paper on EPOC and the actual, you know, the effects that you can actually find from it. And the one of the studies said that 1 to 200 or more calories per day would result from that that EPOC that you get post-exercise. And, you know, when we get to that, you got to kind of understand what EPOC is. And if you've seen any of Alan Cosgrove's stuff, or if you probably haven't been to any of his seminars, but you'll find in a lot of his fat loss work or any kind of or like Craig Ballantyne's Serbon's training, to get that effect, you actually have to work at a very high intensity. One of the papers that I cited from Toth and Pullman said that you got to work at 70% or greater of one's VO2 max. So, you know, when we get into the subject, you know, there's some studies that say, yes, there is an effect that you're going to find from it, usually between 100 and 200 calories. But there's also a lot of studies, as we just mentioned, that article that tend to go against it. So, or say that there really is no benefit that you're going to get besides those calories that are burnt during the time of activity. But, you know, we'll kind of throw this around and we'll talk about it a little bit more. But, you know, there have been quite a few studies, especially in the past 4 or 5 years, that have addressed this issue. And I'll toss it off to Lee first, since we are talking about fat loss, and we'll just jump into this seemingly quicksand, bit of quicksand.
The confidence going into that, Kevin.
No, what I'm just saying, this is, you know, it's a topic that's not, doesn't have like one straightforward answer.
It you know, it does, and it doesn't. I think it has a good general answer, and I think the good general answer when you're talking about this is, does it exist? Does excess post exercise oxygen consumption exist? Is that a thing? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it what people make it out to be? No. And not that I have seen. And I think that the issue that people focus on is the calories. And I think it's kind of like they're looking in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in new studies. You know, it's not about the calories. That's not what makes this so great. It doesn't seem to be a calorie issue. And I have studied people. I have studied putting, and I've put calorie burners on them, and I've done like everything under the sun. And I've not seen really any large difference. As far as an excess caloric burn, we're talking very small amounts, if any. And all the recent, you know, and there have been some studies that have shown that there's really not much, any difference as far as calories are concerned. But I don't think it's about the calories. And there's a new study that came out. It's the effect of high interval training on lipid oxidation during post-exercise recovery. And in that, it goes, you know, it's really technical, and I'm not even going to say that I completely get all of it. But basically what we're seeing is that it's about the oxidation that happens in the body. It's about a lot of the, you know, the VO2 increments, and it's about the other things that happen. Mm-hmm. That have nothing to do with the calories that can help increase your fat loss, or that can help increase your portioning. That can help make you a more, a better system of efficiency. And with that, you know, be healthier and et cetera, to connect to that things, kind of what we were talking about before. So in my opinion, you know, the whole percentage of how many calories is burned afterwards, I don't think you're ever going to figure that out. You're never going to figure that out, because you'd really have to, or you could, but it would be a really hard thing to study. You'd have to have people in a facility. you'd have to have them all be doing the exact same things afterwards. They'd have to train, and then you'd have to have them rested, and you'd have to see over and over and over again what the difference was between not training and then just doing training in general at different maxes. And most of the training, is it going to be done at the right max, and what is the right max, and so on and so forth. So I think that this is a long ways off from having any sort of like train at this percentage and you're going to see this percentage increase, and you have to look at it on such an individualized basis, and one person is not going to react the same way as another person, and so therefore we come to the conclusion of depends, and I think that it's going to be kind of left at that to some degree, with theories coming based upon reactions of what we see in the future. So I think stop focusing on you're going to burn this percentage of calories afterwards, because I don't think it's about that. I don't think that's the importance. I think the importance is what it does for your muscles' ability to just train more efficiency, to use fat for fuel, endurance performance increases, just all these kind of things that we can look at, oxygen uptake, et cetera, et cetera. I think that is where the golden boy is, if you will. And ignore the kind of hype, if that makes sense, of what people are just like, ooh, I get to eat more. I get to burn more calories. I think that's where we're going wrong. And I think that's why there's so much confusion, in my opinion.
Good point.
You know who burns 200 calories after their workouts? The guy that's in the picture of the MSNBC link. He definitely burns 200 calories.
That's true.
His workout. He's got a sweatband, and he.
Don't you love the sweatband?
Love the sweatband.
Love the
he must just. To be honest, when I looked at that picture, I was just like, "Wow, they need to get more comfortable seats for those spinning bikes."
If anyone's ever seen that Gung Ho movie in the 80s with Michael Keaton, that's all I'm gonna say.
I haven't seen that.
Wow.
All right.
That's an awesome call.
Thank you for seeing
wow.
that.
Wow.
It's like we get each other, John, me and you.
I get it. All right. That's it. We're done. Next week, we're going to have Dan John on the show. And after that, we're going to have Al and Eric on the show. And John Fast hung up. Good, John. Thanks for taking steps forward. So, John, we're not going to plug your website either. Hope you like that. He doesn't update it anyways. Who cares?
He said, damn you, Kevin. I think he thinks you did it.
No, I didn't. So.
He's.
I think that's it. Liz, do we have anything else to talk about before we go?
I don't think so. And I can't repeat what John just wrote to you. I don't know if you're seeing it, but he's very upset right now, Larrabee.
Hold on, let me add him back on so we can say bye.
You know he has to have the last word.
John, I didn't hang up on you.
Oh my God, that was so funny. I thought you hung up on me. I was like, you're like, well, that'll do it in one more thing. And then you hung up and I was like, wow, he got that. I was like, he really got that. That's so funny.
Dude, no one likes people that say that's so funny and don't laugh. I think we all figured that out on Scrubs.
No.
That's it.
That's not true. I was going to go on a rant this week, but I'll hold it.
We'll call you Dr. Rant.
Yeah.
That would be your new name.
Yeah, because we've already been at this for like...
I'm running out of gas, dude. I haven't eaten since 8. That's why I'm
running. Yeah, I know. It was a good rant, though.
Yep.
You're getting cranky.
A little bit.
It's getting a little cranky.
Well, yeah. And that's going to do it for us. So please don't forget to check out John's site at acceleratedstrength.com. Do not go to his blog. Check out Lee's site. It's now at leepeel.com.
And yet you put the link up for the blog, so...
Well, John, you don't update it. And Lee's site at leepeel.com.
Yay!
Leepeel. So, Lee, what can we expect from leepeel.com?
A lot of me, because I'm narcissistic and I made a site with my own name.
John, what can we expect from acceleratedstrength.com? Will we hit warp 7 this week?
Dude, updated. This is true. I actually updated my bio now that I passed my boards. I was like, okay, I can update my bio now.
Dude, that's
so there's
even
new
more
and interesting
now.
Information.
John, if you have to ever have to like write out John's name correctly, it's like 4,000 letters now.
Yeah, forget that. Bunch of silliness.
Yeah,
I've got letters in front and behind my name now.
I know, it's like a Jonathan Fast sandwich.
Yep.
Like finger cuff.
Yep. Yeah. What?
I think I kind of understood what you were saying
Chinese,
there.
Chinese yeah. finger cuffs of yeah. letters. Whatever. I'm hungry too.
It's
fine,
a finger trap. All right. That's it. Again, leapheel.com.
You know, we made all these Kevin Smith references earlier. I really thought that, you know.
I haven't really seen any of his movies.
Oh, fail.
Oh.
Oh, fail.
Fail.
God.
God.
I saw some of Clerks, too. And I saw Mallrats. I saw Mallrats.
Oh, my God.
I saw Mallrats. I saw Mallrats.
Whoa.
It's like, Jesus. I don't even know you.
I don't know you,
Leah,
man.
Leah, how we connected with our music.
Yeah, but Clerks 2 is the only thing that...
No, I said I saw Mallrats. I saw that.
Mallrats is good.
And I hate Ben Affleck.
Yeah. So. It doesn't mean...
Sorry, guys.
I just don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. We're going to be back with a probably better podcast next week. So hopefully you can stick around and check that one out.
He's seen that stupid ass movie with the guy's heart that's going to explode.
Crank 2, baby.
Crank 1 and 2.
Dude, I've seen Crank 1 like 3 times or 4 times. So good.
God.
So good.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Like, those are funny movies. It's not like it's, you know, the depressing English patient, John. You know? With your...
This is Kevin Larrabee. I do not spend my time watching trivialties such as good movies.
Okay, that's seriously something you got to get on, Kevin.
Get on what?
I entered the video
pugilistic endeavor with Soda Popinski, and I came out the winner.
You know what? I haven't even seen. I said actually wrong again. I hope you like that. Star Trek. I haven't seen that either.
Whoa!
I know.
Whoa!
I know.
Dude,
I know.
Like 2 weeks ago, you were supposed to see this.
I know.
I haven't seen Star Trek either.
Whoa!
Anything about that.
At least I didn't go and see it by myself like Tony.
Dude, Larrabee, my friggin' dog walked out of the room in disgust with you. She just got up and left. She's like, I can't have any of this. And she walked right out. Holy crap.
I know, dude. I know.
Oh.
Well, I was going to see it. And if people are... The show's over, so you can stop listening. Unless you want more off-topic stuff. Check out thefitcast.com and check us out on iTunes. Some interview, but the for Star Trek, you know, it was playing in IMAX, and now Night at the Museum is playing. So I don't want to
go to see Night Museum.
Is there a choice there?
Before you go,
no,
to see
I'm never
going
to.
I haven't seen Star Trek, but I would definitely see Star Trek before I went to the.
I'm not
museum.
Going to see Night at the Museum.
Oh, Jesus,
John. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to, you know...
I want you to go see Star Trek, Kevin.
It's been a very busy couple weeks.
You can see Star Trek in Boston. You can see it in Indiana.
No,
you can see it anywhere. Just go see it.
Yeah. It's not the same, John.
It's the same. Go see the damn movie. You know it's not the same? Seeing it versus not seeing it. That's not the same.
No.
I can't believe you didn't go to see Star Trek.
No, it's not. It's still in theaters. I still have time.
Yes, go see it.
I don't have time today.
You have time. Go see
it. And I work 6 days a week. I work at night, so I'm not going to go at like 12.
Yeah, you are. And you save money. That's a win-win. You can see it for a matinee presentation.
John, what are you going to do when you're doing, like, rounds and, you know, you're just like,
You know, I mocked doing that so much that I did it the other day.
Sucker! Sucker!
It's like, I was like, And I was like, damn it. It filtered into me.
And it feels good. You're like,
It did kind of feel good. It
feels good in the throat when you do this.
It's very professorial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll pretend I know what that means.
Yo, Kev.
What's up, John?
You're up a game and a half on Boston.
Hey, John.
Yes, Kevin.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Can you turn up the volume a little bit? Because I don't know if you can hear me.
Let me just say this. Put it really, get really close. Get really close to the headset. I gotta tell you something. Fuck you.
I was scared.
Yeah, I was actually moving the headphones off of my head. I was afraid he was going to do something.
I thought that Back to the Future shit was coming out. And
no, Doc, but it's me. It's just smarter. It's I come back from 1985 and went to 2015, and then we came back to 1955 because Biff stole the book, and then Biff... And then it was you. The you from 1985, and then he brought us... No, sorry.
It's fucking Peter from the Brady Bunch.
Oh my! Do you know that our off-topic is now going to lead into our off-topic? I think this is a record of stupid from the FitCast.
It's a record off-topic.
This is epic off-topic episode 135.
I'm not even gonna take a break. I'm not gonna throw in the ending music. I'm just gonna throw another ad in.
Nice.
To cover the
we have an ad in the off-topic. That's epic.
The advertisements.
The all off-topic show.
This show is at least half off-topic, yeah.
Easy.
it's getting towards where the scale's gonna tip towards the off-topic side. But
yeah.
Nice.
Let's hope not.
Wow.
What the fans want anyway, Kevin. That's what they want.
Yeah. I don't know why.
And I really hope that like people that are really into this stuff, like the professionals out there that listen to this are like, yeah, I just listen to the FitCast just for the off-topic. The questions, who cares?
Yeah, these guys don't know what they're talking about, but they're off-topic stuff.
Fucking on.
Kevin Statham movies, outstanding.
Hey, can we just talk about, by the way, that how long have I been putting out like a podcast? Never retweeted it, ever. And then finally, the other day... My podcast gets retweeted by Kevin. And why? Because I said boobies in the first, 5 minutes. Oh, you got to check this out.
I was like, sick.
The society right there. The stuff she said for years about, you know.
People need to hear about this, Lee.
2 minutes in.
I listen to the podcast, and if something really piques my interest, zing, then I can tell you about it.
Well, that was the winner of the free t-shirt, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's give away a free t-shirt. Who am I giving it to? Let's give it to... Pink Dumbbell Award. We'll give it to the Pink Dumbbell Award.
Oh, the Pink Dumbbell Award, definitely the dancer.
Kristen?
Yeah,
that was
Kristen,
awesome.
If you listen this far, you get a free t-shirt. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, no, that was a great question. Dancing is a really awesome area of training. It really is very cool.
Well, John, I mean, you were once a private dancer, correct? Dancer for money?
Yes.
Nice. Actually, that was pretty accurate.
Yeah,
that was surprisingly accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys excited for E3?
Huh?
No E3 fans. It's the big electronic gaming expo. It starts on Monday.
The first paragraph of Tony's new blog. Oh my God, boobies!
Are you serious?
I quote.
Did he do the same thing?
Actually, in
oh. Yeah, but this is old. He's talking about softcore.
Yeah, the first time you realized that Skinemax existed. Oh
no,
my God.
Actually, you know what? Let's bitch out Tony for a second. Okay. Because he is such a hypocrite. Such a hypocrite that, let's see, 1 week before he made this previous post, he, hold on, let me find it real quick. Just to, okay, here it is. When most people think of gaming systems, they think of kids spending countless hours playing games such as Guitar Hero, Resident Evil, Call of Duty, and I'll Never Touch a Boob, Halo, for countless hours at a time. He's taking a stab at me. As for me, I like to watch this video. And then he bitches out people that play video games. Then in this post he says, when all is said and done, a man's life can be defined as an ongoing journey of milestones. Examples include hitting your first Little League home run, watching Star Wars for the first time, getting into your first fight, and beating Super Mario Brothers for the NES. You're such a hypocrite, Tony. So it's okay when you're a kid, but it's not okay as an adult? That's retarded. You watch movies. I don't watch as many movies as you. Slam.
Hmm.
Well.
Hmm. I just want to say that.
I would like to say that Tony's post on my birthday, in fact, on May 20th, about Kim Kardashian makes an exercise DVD was...
She's coming on the show.
God, if she is, I'm doing that interview.
Do you want me to hook that up?
I'm on.
Are you serious?
If Kim Kardashian comes on the show, I will be on that.
All right.
I love her with a strong and...
I'm going to email their PR.
I would, and you know what? I would never call her out on any of the garbage that she would spew about exercise. I'd be
yeah,
like, wow,
yes,
really?
Actually, that's perfect. People stop. You know what I said about crunches? Fuck it.
Do it.
Do it.
I'd be like, really? So step aerobics is what gave you that wonderful shape? There you go, listeners. Like, I would be totally – I would be drinking Kool-Aid, like, bathing in it. I yes. Whatever she said is absolutely
what,
accurate.
What? Pilates bands? Nice. Yes, we got to get some of those. What am I going to do? It's called – what is it? I got to find out what it's called. Oh, it's Fit In Your Jeans by Friday.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm.
My God. Yeah, I was so happy to watch that stupid trailer on YouTube. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing.
Oh, crap, I gotta find the PR for this.
Isn't it, and let's talk about that for a second though. Isn't it incredible? We started off this episode talking about how thin Kelly Ripa is, and we ended up with the beautiful and voluptuous Kim Kardashian.
I don't think she's beautiful, but
how dare you? And you know what I mean? Like, isn't that it's incredible? Like how our society exists, where these two women both are like on the covers of magazines and stuff. Like, and you wonder why women have strange, you know, body image
dysmorphic issues.
Jesus,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm totally in the same boat. Like it's just, I don't know. It's just not attractive to find a woman that just has nothing, you know, to her. It's skin and bone.
Yeah,
it's not hot.
No, it's not at all.
No.
Not even remotely close. And anyone that thinks otherwise, you're wrong. I'm going to say that right now.
God.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's just not healthy, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, then we're going to get an email. Say, yes, it is healthy. You know, I eat. I don't care.
Yeah.
Send me the email. I'm not going to read it.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, read it. I want you to read it.
Fine, I'll read it.
I want you to read it out loud.
Read it out loud.
I want you to say their name.
Read it to your assortment of dolls on your bed.
I eat a bowl of Kashi Golean Crunch every morning. And that's how I think it's going to start. I'm not like there's anything wrong with it. But yeah, actually there is something a little bit wrong with it.
I know. We know. We know what you're talking about.
I don't know what he's
saying. But it says Golean on it. It doesn't say go fat.
Good point. Truth in advertising.
It says go lean. What?
Go lean or go home, Kevin.
Soy's good for me.
Soy joy.
Soy joy.
What's up with these things that you were eating the other day, Lee, on Twitter? Those biscuits.
Okay, like, seriously. They're yummy. Like, for some reason, people gave me crap about that. And I was like...
What do you mean, give you crap? Okay. No, I just thought they looked gross.
No, but, like, some people were like, why would you mix pork and soy? Like, what's the point? And I'm like, look, they're just mini muffins that I grabbed. They're low in calories and they're high in protein. Like, what the hell? Like, I don't know, but they're just these... They're the frozen muffins, and I grab them, and they taste yummy. Sometimes you just feel like throwing something in a microwave. I don't know. But they taste good. They're just egg and a sausage concoction and cheese and a little, you know, non-artificial ingredient bun, whatever the hell that means.
I have a question.
And, you know?
I'm watching this Kim Kardashian
video
with the sound off, and I don't even know what you just said. It like,
but you agree
really
with it.
Don't. Yeah, but I really don't know what you said at all.
Like, yes.
I like her gloves.
Oh my god.
Oh, you know what's great?
I have those gloves. Actually, Lou Scholler made fun of me. The very first interaction I had with Lou Scholler, he saw a picture of me wearing my dancing gloves, and he was like, "Why are you wearing those gloves?" And I was like, I was really scared. And I was like, I dance. Oh, okay. That was it. That was my first introduction with Lou Scholler, because I had those kind of gloves on. So every time I see them, I actually think of Lou now.
You know how you guys, you know, like lifting gloves are kind of stupid?
Mm. Yeah.
I saw a dude lifting with gardening gloves on yesterday.
Great.
And that's what's one step below the baseball batting gloves that I usually see people lifting with.
Dude, that's meta.
No joke. I've... Like really? Awesome. Like,
oh,
what? Are your hands that delicate?
Now.
I had one of my female clients doing farmer's walks with 50-pound dumbbells. And, you know, she didn't use fucking gloves. We put some chalk on her hands. What's up?
Dude, strong men don't even use gloves.
And she goes, Kevin, I fucking hate you at the end of the workout, though.
Nice.
But I knew it was in love.
And she's dropping those kind of F-bomb language?
She has a filthy mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the regurgitation of her conversation towards you. It really spoke volumes of her vocabulary.
Yeah.
Oh, she's using like 2-pound weights now, and I'm all for it. I would never tell her she's
wrong. No, that's
wrong.
Way too heavy, Kim.
I would never tell her she's wrong.
Kim, lower. I can't believe people are going to listen to this.
People are, and they're going to love it.
Dude, and they still have to make it through this garbage to get to the other garbage that we did in the other off-topic. I'm mesmerized by this. Like, and I'm not – look.
I still have the lost off-topic that we never put in because it was so bad.
Yeah. I don't want to come across as a pervert, and everyone that knows me in real life is now laughing their faces off. But I will say this. I think that I'm in love with Kim Kardashian. And I think that it's a sweet and gentle love.
Would you like to be alone?
John, I gotta go. No, I gotta go clean my room.
I just want to be alone.
I think John needs to go clean.
I love this woman. In an honest and deep way.
No, dude, I spilled something on my pants. It's nothing.
Dude, you gotta look at that last night's text. There's a text about that. It's hysterical.
About some dude saying he spilled something on his pants, but he really
no.
Didn't.
It was something along the lines of how do you accidentally get the junk on a shirt that's folded in a drawer. So funny.
If we weren't explicit before today on iTunes, we are now.
Explicit content. I really love
it. All right, guys. I want to go play some video games.
Okay.
Thank
Kevin.
You, Tony, for putting up that video.
You guys going to be okay without me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yo, Lee, I called you the other day. You didn't pick up. You know what? We're fighting.
Yo, Lee Peel.
What?
Yo, Lee.
I
did you leave
you
a message?
No.
Did you leave a... Then don't complain.
No, I
because
didn't leave a message.
I don't see do you know that I see my missed calls?
You should see your missed calls.
Was it on?
John left me a message yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
Leave a message. That's, you know what? Anyone that calls me, leave a message. Send me a text. That I get missed calls. Don't always get those.
Sometimes I leave a message.
Dr. Fast.
Sometimes I don't.
Dr. Fass is busy.
Obviously not a doctor of the telephone.
Dr. Fass is concerned with his instrument right now.
Dr. Fass is speaking in the third person and will not tolerate any more garbage about his instrument.
Okay.
I love Kim Kardashian.
Of love.
Of love.
Dude, you should meet Bob Dole. You guys would get along.
Hmm.
Think about that. I just threw in a political reference, and Bob Dole, I was like 8 when he was running for president. What's up?
Were you?
I am a well-read man.
How do you know that, but you don't know your own age?
Oh, your own age.
I watched Saturday Night Live when I was a kid. Dude, Norm MacDonald doing Bob Dole. I'm Bob Dole.
That was pretty funny. Norm MacDonald is hysterical. Crack up at Norm MacDonald. He's so funny. Like, those roasts when he makes no sense, I'm dying.
No, it's funny. It's a big hat. So, it's funny. But
which roast was he on last? Was it like...
Bob Saget?
That's right. Oh, my God. He was hysterical at Bob Saget's roast. I was dying. The whole audience is like... quiet, and you got
like,
a couple of guys.
Bob, I don't really know you, but you seem like a good guy. So.
A good guy to make fun of. And then he just silence.
You know, he got fired off of Saturday Night Live, right?
Did he get fired?
Yeah. He got kicked off because his he used to do Weekend Update.
Yeah, that's right.
And he would just do pretty much whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah.
And some people just didn't get it, especially the big wigs up in NBC and GE.
Well, he does that kind of what's his face? What's his name?
Burt Reynolds?
No. From Saturday Night Live and from Taxi.
Danny DeVito?
No.
Andy Kaufman?
Man in the Moon or Man on the
Moon. Andy Kaufman, I just said it.
Andy Kaufman, thank you.
Kaufman.
Yeah, he does that sort of thing, where it's like, it's his own private joke. If you get it, you get it, and if you don't, tough.
He's coming back in 2010. Kaufman. He's back.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Dude, haven't you seen Tony Clifton? He's still kicking around. Tony Clifton. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the FitCast. If you listen this long, I am so goddamn sorry. I am so sorry that you listened to this. We're going to wrap it up. I'm really going to hang up the call right now. We're going to stop recording. And you know what? This is such a waste of bandwidth. I might edit it out. Take care and have a great week.
Pick up your phone, Lee Peel.
Bye.
All right. Michael Boyle, strengthcoach.com, the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet. Are you looking for cutting-edge information updated almost every day? Do you like info-packed forums with almost real-time answers from industry experts? Then log on to www.strengthcoach.com. For only $1 for 14 days, you can test drive the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet, strengthcoach.com. Have you logged on today?
Hello and welcome to the award-winning off-topic discussion for the FitCast podcast. Lee's with us, John's with us, Dr. John.
Doctor.
Doctor.
Dr. John. John.
Yeah.
So, you're a doctor now, huh? Can you write prescriptions?
No.
And also, you know what? I got some pretty cool emails from people saying that I can't say actually. I just say actually.
Yeah, and also I get Facebook messages about how you speak. A guy Facebooked me and said that he really he can't stand the way you say archives.
Archives? When the hell did I ever say that?
I don't even know. I was trying to remember. I was like, what the hell did he even say that? But yeah, apparently if I got you to say it again, then I win something.
And you just
I don't
did.
Know. Yeah.
And you just did. So.
And someone must be spreading some kind of rumor online because one of our listeners actually thought I was gay. And I said actually again. So what's up?
They thought you were gay.
Yeah, and apparently, sorry, dude, it's not the case.
It's okay. Everyone thinks I'm a lesbian. So, you know, it's all good.
We're on the same
boat. Must be the gay cast.
Yeah.
That's weird. Everyone thinks that I'm all man, so whatever.
No, everyone. No, John makes evens it out by being transgendered. So.
Hey. Why make a choice in life?
Why, dude? Why have one when you can have two for twice the price?
It's true.
It's what they said in Contact.
Oh, the thread of the website of the day, just FYI, is textsfromlastnight.com. Yo,
that sounds funny.
It's the funniest
like
thing.
Like, I'm already googling.
Oh boy, it's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical.
The first thing I read was, "I smell stomach acid."
So there you go. So we can peruse the website throughout the FitCast today.
God, this is the best thing I've ever read in my entire life.
Yeah, here's one from
someone called me Shannon Doherty, and it hurt my feelings. That should be the subtitle of an emo band's album.
From area code 205, I didn't slap you in the face. Tequila slapped you with my hand.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, what's so
like, well, you know what? I can't say this enough topic because there's just way too many cuss words.
There's a lot of cuss words.
I'll try and paraphrase what I heard last night, though. So I was walking my dog, and in the neighborhood where I live, there's like, I don't know why, it was just party night, and everyone was having a party at their house. And so I was walking my dog. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was absolutely exhausted. I'm going to try and edit this as much as possible, because even I don't usually get this cussy. But I'm walking behind a house, and it's a corner house, and there's a lot of like gay people in my neighborhood, and that's fine. I'm happy with the gays, love them. But it's like a gay guy house. Like, it's nothing but like all these gay guys. And then there's the lesbian house, and it's something about all these lesbians. And I don't know if they planned it this way, but they just live like right beside each other. So they have these really loud parties, and some of the gay guys can get like really queeny, and it'll be, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, it'll be like, woo! And it's like all you hear for like hours and hours on end. And I'm not kidding. There's YMCA, and it's the stereotypical that you could possibly think of. But I guess they had like, I don't know, like a lot of really aggressive straight males over last night, and this one guy is outside and he's pissing on the fence. And like, you know what pissing on the fence is. It's just, there's not any other sound to describe it. And he's like, oh yeah, oh, that had to happen. And he's just like talking to himself while he's pissing on the fence. And then this guy comes outside, he's like, you all right, dude? Are you okay? And he's like, I really like her. You know, I really like her, you know, and I can't believe she's such a slut. And the other guy's like, you know, basically talking about how she does nothing but give the art of fellatio, and that it's been like 1,000 guys that she's had, and she's not like worth it.
Like the scene in Clerks.
Yeah, basically. And the guy's like, you don't know. You don't know, she loves me, man. And he like goes back into the house and like slams the door and locks the guy out. And the guy's like banging on the door. He's like, let me in. And he just kept like screaming like, let me in. And as I walked away into the distance, I just kept hearing this guy scream, let me in. And so, yeah, I don't really know how I got there, but that was the, that would have been interesting to read on a text message. Maybe it's on there somewhere. I don't know. But, yeah.
Can we keep it real for a second? That really does hurt your feelings when you find that out. Like, oh, I'm really into her. She's awesome. She's wonderful. We like the same music. And it's like, really? Because, you know, she's been like 30 guys. You're like, oh, God. Like, oh, no. Because not only does it go through your head that she's been with 30 guys, but the logical conclusion is she's done more with most of them than she has with you. So then that also hurts your feelings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that
it's like every Kevin Smith film, like,
oh, yeah. Into, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. And, you know, it's like, you're going to be an adult. It's like, look, You're not going to be with Snow White and the Virgin Dwarfs. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. Get over yourself. She's, you know, women have been with other men, and that's okay. But when you start getting into, like, you have to take off both your shoes to count how many you've been with, then you start going, ah, oh, that hurts my feelings.
You guys ever seen Back to the Future 2?
Dude, I live Back to the Future 2.
No, I've watched the trilogy over and over again. What's your point, Kevin?
Okay, first off, just to make this statement, I'm way bigger Back to the Future fans than anyone that listens to this podcast or is on it right now. So okay. Let me just state that. I have to. All right? And, John, when you were just saying, you know, that realization that girl has been with close to 100 men. Just makes me think of Marty McFly when he sees the grave of his father in the alternate reality Back to the Future 2. He's like, oh, no. Oh, God, no. Yes, Marty. Unfortunately, it's true. Shit happens in Back to the Future.
Wow. From every movie event that you could have thought of showing grief and dismay, you went Back to the Future 2.
Dude, Bob Zemeckis knows how to translate torture and misfortune. Haven't you seen the that movie with Tom Hanks?
Oh,
which is like half the movies Robert Zemeckis has done.
What movie?
You can't call a movie out and then not know the movie, dude.
Yeah,
Polar Express.
Oh, you know? No! I know what that movie was. Fail.
Fail 2? Oh. Return
yeah,
of
I
the
think
failure.
It was Fail 2. Return of the Kevin.
Thanks, Joe. I didn't have the epic fail last week. That wasn't me.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, it was you.
I don't even remember why, but I remember it being you.
You don't even remember. Then it doesn't count.
I can go back. How about that? I can go back and listen to it if I want to.
You can't even remember.
No, I can.
I can't even remember how old he is.
I know.
23.
You stumbled almost. Just a little. Yeah. I heard it right in the back of your throat.
Born in 1980, duh.
Sorry, my cell phone's ringing, so I had to stop that. I wasn't paying attention to you, John.
1980, duh.
Actually, it was 1986. It was a great year.
That was a good year. I think I was in, like, fourth grade.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Shit, John.
No, how old were you when you were in fourth grade? I was second grade. Was it second?
You were eight?
I was nine. I was in, like, second or third grade, maybe.
So, John, have you tried out the new Punch-Out?
There's a new one?
Oh, God.
Did you listen to the last episode?
I thought... sort of. I was studying.
What does that mean? You stuck the earphones up your ass or something so you could just feel the vibrations of us talking? Okay, that wasn't good. I'm sorry. Maybe I'll edit that out.
I'm the producer. I can do anything with my fails.
Like I'll edit out all my ums and pauses, and you guys will just be like, then the answer.
Holy crap, look at that. It's the mic type. It's Punch-Out for the Wii.
Dude, it's fucking awesome.
I was really excited
awesome.
About it when he told me, because he told me about it on air. I didn't know.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about, like, I thought you were playing your old Nintendo. I was like, wow, he beat Soda Popinski. That's crazy.
Dude.
I had no idea you were playing a real version of it.
Well, I got it for the original. Excuse me. That's the
gastrointestinal issues there.
No, the stevia is giving me an aneurysm. Yes, so
that's very possible.
No, the game itself is quite fantastic, and the like they have Don Flamingo and all the racial stereotypes that you might have, like super flamboyant dude.
Who's the big bad?
You mean Bald Bull from Turkey?
No, I mean, because it's not going to be Mike Tyson.
No, it's Mr. Dream. When Mike Tyson, you know, gotten all of his legal issues, they did a second run of the game and replaced Mike Tyson with Mr. Dream.
Ah.
Who the hell's Mr. Dream?
He's a fictional character.
Okay. I didn't know. I was really out of it. I was like, I've never heard of that dude.
Much like Soda Popsinski.
Glass Jaw Joe.
Glass Joe.
Yeah. He's the blonde one, right? Bug eye.
Yeah, he's French.
Yeah.
He was great because it was like when you first started playing that game and you'd lose to him like once or twice, when you beat him, you'd be like, wow, how did I ever lose to this guy?
Actually, I don't think anyone lost to him ever, John. I think that's the point.
I think so.
I'll have to look that up, but I don't think that's true.
Well, then you know what? Then the world lost.
No, I think you lost, John.
I did lose to him. I lost to him like once or twice. Then I beat him, and I was like, holy crap. I was like, that was easy.
But, yeah, I don't know. We should probably have another music discussion later.
Okay.
New opponents are Disco Kid, Giga Mac, and Donkey.
Oh, fuck. You fucking asshole, dude. You just spoiled it. I didn't know that.
It's on Wikipedia, dude.
Such a dick.
It's on Wikipedia.
It's got no heart.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
As well as Bear Hugger and...
Fuck, dude. Shut the fuck up. John, hang up on the... Dude, they're fucking hidden characters for a reason.
No!
Oh, my God. In the hidden level?
Oh, guess what? We just hung up on John Fass. Fuck John. We're doing the show without him. I'm not kidding. John's not on the show this week. Sorry, folks. And that's why.
Great Scott, Kevin.
Great Scott indeed, Lee Peel. All right. Let's start recording the show. What's that?
He's going to be so pissed at you.
I don't give a shit.
He was spoiling like mad, though.
I know, and I'm sure people were listening
to
this. No, I'm going
to
edit that shit out. All right, for people out there who still listen to this, you know, John was spoiling Punch-Out for the Wii. Dude, I didn't even know that. Like, I knew there were secret characters, but I ain't gone to them yet, man. It's like, dude, guess what? The end of, I don't know, insert movie here, he dies. Oh, no, guess what? Bruce Willis was a ghost the whole time. Thanks, asshole.
You know, some people might not have seen that movie still, Kevin.
Well, they don't know what movie I'm talking about, Lee. That's why I didn't mention the movie.
It's Die Hard.
Yeah, it's Die Hard. It's Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2. Actually, no, it's Die Hard 3 and Samuel Jackson is just, you know, crazy talking to himself. This is how it's all.
Do I look like a bitch? John, I'm not calling you back. All right, we're going to start recording the show. Thanks for joining us on the Off Topic, folks. Go check out Die Hard 4.
Bringing John back.